Good morning, church. It's been fun this morning so far. It really has. There's nothing wrong with church being fun. Fun is okay. As we connect to things bigger than we are, that we hope will sustain and support us through the next, well, at least 7 days, right? Until we gather again. I love kids in church. I just do. It makes me feel better. Makes me feel more energetic, and we've got a bunch right now. So to all of you who are bringing kids, go out, find some more. Need to be careful what I say. But as I look there's a lot of kids I don't know real well, and I'd like to, so I need to. See, I'm finding as I get older, and my kids get older, that I know the kids around my kids' age better. It's just how it happens. And I'm kind of missing out on knowing some of the little baby toddlers. So you help me out. I want to know this group that sits up here. This is a good thing. And they're obviously good kids, because when you've got a drum or a tambourine or some cymbals and someone says you got to put that away and then you put that away, that's a pretty impressive thing. So good job on that, everybody. And how long are our college students here for? When do you get to leave? 5 more days? Friday. Oh, 5 years? Chantel was with me. Are we in finals by now, by any chance? Yes, okay. So this is the last week. Is this final week coming up right now? So all the best with that. And I see Chris is back, so your finals must be done, because you go to Cal Poly, my old place. That was a busy road coming up there. When did you get back? Yesterday? Thursday? Thursday. Well, welcome back. I think you were here last time I was here, too, but now you're here. So, man, that quarter went fast. It for us, I mean, we were just saying goodbye to you. And you're back already. Oh, it sounds horrible? Oh, don't take it the wrong way. See, I've got my conscience on the third row right there. She's doing good. Glad they're here, too. Another one hiding behind down there. I've got a bit of a strange sermon today. It's something a little different than I usually do. It might not work for you. I'm hoping, obviously, that it does. I'm calling it analog versus digital. I'm not really a techie guy. Now, I like using tech, don't get me wrong, but I have no idea how it works. But I'm fascinated when I find out how it works. And I've been doing some reading on this because I'm trying to work with an idea here, because I've decided that the incarnation is not a digital thing. I want us to think of it today more of an analog thing. By the way, I just saw Irene sitting there too. I haven't seen you here for a while, so I'm glad you're here today. Because it's been kind of cold for a bit, hasn't it? And so, is the church warm enough this morning? Yeah. Good. All right, good. We want it to be. We don't want anybody to come here and not be able to sit because we're shivering. I don't like being cold. I really don't. And if you were here last week, I wasn't, so my apologies. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. It's just a full church, and I like it. But today, I'm just going to use the digital and the analog world as an example to explain something that I think could be really important for us to hear. If I miss you today, I'm sorry. I hope you enjoyed the cymbals and the singing. But we're going to give this a little bit of a try. When I was young, and by young, I mean, let's say, 7. I didn't have apps. What's an app? I didn't even have computer software. That came a few years later. I had what I called my matchbox cars. I see some smiles. And in the world that I grew up in, if you had a lot of matchbox cars, it meant that your parents loved you. And if you didn't have so many, it meant that they were doing their best. They just didn't have as much love to give. So if I go around to my friend's house and they just had this, oh, their parents must love them a lot. And my parents loved me about the average medium amount, as much as they could. I had more Matchbox cars than some people I knew, and not as many as some other people had. And I just loved these cars. Now, today, there's a lot of Hot Wheels about. Do we know Hot Wheels? Yeah, okay. You don't sound very excited. If you're 40 right now, you're loving this sermon so far. Yes, there we go. Hot Wheels is not so good for me as the Matchbox cars. Hot Wheels have a little bit of fantasy involved in the designs. I liked the real thing. That's what I liked. I liked Volvos and some various forms of the Ford car. I just liked cars that I would see on the road. I liked to play with those. That was my thing. And I would line them up. They're always in a traffic jam. I grew up in England. We just have a lot of traffic jams. And I would choose the car I was in, and then I would pass the other cars because I was faster than everybody else. And I would make it very daring, and I just had this beautiful thing going on. But if I passed a car in front of me in my fantasy make-believe world that I insisted on having realistic cars to do this with, if I passed and it didn't look right, I would make myself have a do-over. So I'd move the car forward, and if it wasn't right, I would pull the car backwards, and I would do it again. And if it wasn't still quite right, I would do it again. And again. And people who would watch me do this would say things like, I heard it more than once, boy, that car has quite an amazing gearbox to be able to do that. And they don't understand my mission of my toys. But in my attempt to make something realistic, I was, in fact, doing something very unrealistic, because we don't get those sorts of do-overs. If your life becomes messy or doesn't look perfect or look the way you want it, you don't get to live that over again. You can learn from your mistakes and then move on. And to me, that is an analog thing. I love digital, because digital allows for some do-over. If you're not with me yet, think of the camera. When I first started taking pictures, I did not take 50 pictures in one day. That was just a complete waste. Because when you took a picture, that was it. I mean, you're going to see that picture. That's going to be the picture of that thing. None of that, are their eyes open? Sorry, I'm showing my age really, aren't I? None of that. You just had to wait maybe a week or two to see if their eyes were open, because that moment was captured. You don't get to manipulate it. If somebody had red eye, you don't get rid of that with a click of the button. That's what the analog world is. Analog measures reality, captures it, and it's there. Whereas a digital world, you can take it, you can retake it, and then when you take it, you can manipulate it, right? Because it doesn't have to be what you took at all. I mean, I can make people look pretty good on some of my software. The reason why in this church, to this day, any church that I'm part of will never do the church directory through the regular route is because, what's the company called? I've forgotten. There's a company. Olin. Is it Olin Mills? Yeah, when they did it. And when Clara was a little baby, they took a picture of her. They said, would you like us to touch her up? And you shouldn't tell a dad of his baby that his baby needs to be touched up. So, oh, I do that next week. Sorry, I forgot you were here. I owe you $5 now, yeah. Just remembered that. Okay, the difference, I'm doing a little bit of groundwork here as we get set up as we go. A digital system is a data technology that uses discrete, or what we call discontinuous values. By contrast, the non-digital world or the analog world, those systems are represented by an information system that uses a continuous function. Although digital representations are discrete, the information represented can be either discrete, such as numbers or letters, or continuous, such as sounds or images or other sorts of measurements. Are you with me so far? Okay. Didn't think you would be. So, we're going to leave Wikipedia now, and we will come into what I would call the real world. A digital media is, by the way, the word digital comes from the word finger. That's where it comes from, the Latin word digit. I know that, so I'm sharing it. You all get to know it too. You probably did already. I had to read it. A digital system uses discontinuous values, meaning you can take a series of events and you can break it down into data and you can store it in its data, perhaps binary form, just in these little tiny bits. And then if you break them down according to a certain code and you send it to somebody else and they have the same code, they can unpack that data and can unpack and end up with the same representation of what you sent. But in between hand, it wasn't that anymore. Let me give you another photographic example. I use FaceTime a lot, which is Mac, Apple's version of Skype, that sort of thing, where you have a camera and you talk back and forth. I love it. Austin and I, we hang out every single morning before 7 o'clock. We don't look our best, but we have a good time hanging out, at least me anyway. But it's really cool because on my screen, I get this picture and this conversation. Yes. Yeah, I know. Just keeping it fair. On this picture and on this screen, I see my son and I talk to him, which is awesome. But the thing is, he is not actually there, right? It is just a mere representation of him. So when he's in Aurora Grande, which is about 4 hours by driving away, he can sit there and the camera is recording in a bunch of pixels, storing it in a bunch of data, sending it to outer space and going through all of its stuff. That, again, I have no idea how that happens. I mean, really, it's unbelievable to me. And then it comes down and I pick it up. It comes through the wires into my house, through the air in my house, onto my iPad and through onto my screen. And I am seeing exactly what it is that he's doing at that time. But I'm seeing a representation of that, which is cool because you can manipulate that. You can make it look better. We can put filters on it. We can put different backgrounds behind us. We can do all of that sort of thing. Now, I also get to do this with my parents that live in England. When I was a little kid, we had to make an appointment to make a phone call to England. Some of you remember those kind of days? And you had to wander down, come into your appointment because there were only a certain number of channels available for a continuous form of information. So that when this, by the way, I don't know how words get put onto a tape, I don't, or into a speaker. I don't understand how that happens at all. I know some speakers are better than others, but in the analog world, that sound would have gone all the way through the channels and gone to England from New Zealand, where I was growing up, to England. And then there would be this horrendous delay. Remember the delay? Where you're like, are you done talking? I mean, you're both talking and then you both stop and you sit there and wait for the other person. In the digital world now, it moves so quickly, we don't have that delay anymore. If we do, we get really ticked off about it because it shouldn't be like that anymore. So we've got this digital world and we've got this analog world. world. There were two things in Star Trek that I remember seeing that I really liked. The first one was when someone from the bridge was out somewhere and they wanted to talk to the computer or to someone else in the bridge. They would go, "Computer." I thought that was so cool. Oh, wouldn't it be great if humanity could come up with that? Well, we have. We have that. In my phone, it's called Siri. In yours, it might be called something else. But it's a terrible thing in some ways because as I'm a pastor here, I'm also the pastor of the Mariposa Church. So when I leave town and I go out on the 140, there is this sign on the way out for the pizza factory. Have you seen that sign there? And sometimes I leave, oh, I'm not hungry. I'm not going to eat that much tonight. So I get ready on the run. I drive out and I see that sign and I suddenly get really hungry. Well, Siri, could you call the pizza factory for me? And it does. As long as I've remembered my hands-free earpiece, which sometimes I don't and the battery runs out. These first world problems are very complicated sometimes. So that when I get to Mariposa, the pizza is made for me. And it's right there. I mean, that's great. The other thing in Star Trek I thought was really cool was when you were down on a planet somewhere and you wanted to get back to the ship, you just said, what? Beam me up. And they did, I mean, it's a digital effect, but they did what we know in the digital world. They sort of portrayed it within humanity. They broke down matter. This wasn't an idea. This wasn't software. This wasn't music, this was matter. They broke it down, then transferred it like we would transfer an email, and then built it back up again on the bridge. Fantastic. Now, some things can be digitized, some things cannot. My favorite app at the moment is the sleep app. Have I told you about the sleep app? It measures my sleep. It's fantastic. I put it on the side of my bed, and it interprets all the moves I make, and it tells me if I slept well or not that night, because I don't always know. And so when I wake up and I look at my app, oh, yeah, I slept well. But the really cool thing is that you give it a 30-minute window to wake up, and it wakes you up when you're ready to wake up. Or at least as close as you're ever going to be. Let's put it that way. And it changes my wake-up experience. I am remembering more dreams, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Some of them are weird. Some of them are okay. Was it Claire and I that were talking the other day? And Claire says, I have a weird dream. I said, no, I have a weird dream. And then I told her mine. She goes, yeah, okay, yours is really weird. And it was. But I have this sleep app, and then it can measure, like, how long did I eat before I went to bed? And I can measure that over time, and I can be like, it's not good to eat before bed. And it tells me that my sleep before midnight is better than my sleep after midnight. There's all this amazing information that I could have just got from Ellen White, period. But now I have it in an app. And I can be like, huh, she was right. That's my favorite app. But I do not have an app for sewage in my house. No matter how advanced the technical world gets, there's always going to be a pipe in, and there's always going to be a pipe out. Some things cannot be digitized. Some things have to happen in a continuous form. They can't be broken down, stored, manipulated, changed. It's a continuous thing. And salvation, the fix that we have been given for sin, I am suggesting this morning, would be one of those things. Now, I don't want this to be a church, the world is flat kind of thing. The church and preachers and clergy people for hundreds of years have stood up and said they will never be able to, and then they do. So if they find a way to break down some matter, and some people are claiming to actually break down some matter, store it somewhere, and in its very simplest forms be able to do that. That's some weird reading that I came across in my research, and it nearly ruined my sermon. But I'm going to go with it anyway. But there are some things that cannot be digitized, and salvation is one of them. We cannot simply break sin down and get rid of it. There's some interesting comments in the Bible when the Bible starts talking about sin. There are some times where it says these are the things that you shouldn't do and these are the things that you should do. I'm not talking about that this morning. Chances are you already know. But what happens to sin when we commit it? Because sin has this effect on people. Now, you can get rid of a lot of the effects of sin by seeking forgiveness from each other. And when you offer forgiveness or you seek forgiveness, that is a very powerful thing in the human world. It is powerful for the forgiven and the forgivee, for both. Forgiveness is an incredibly powerful thing. But the effects of sin still carry on for a very long time. If you punch someone, I'm just using a very simplest thing that, you know, they did not deserve it in any form or another, you can say sorry, but it still affects the person that got, I mean, the bruise is still there for a set number of days. That effect still lives on in somebody's life. This is what I'm referring to today as the continuous effect. You cannot digitize that. You can do it on a picture. You can erase red eye and a bruise and warts and all these sorts of things. I could never get, they're not here today, but I could never get Beth and Sam in the same picture when we did the pictures out there. But I have a wonderful picture of them together because I did that on Photoshop. It's actually really good. You'll see it when it comes out. I wanted you to know that I got that pretty good. Thanks for the pictures, by the way. But when it comes to sin in real life, you can't digitize that out. We've done ways of fixing things and broken bones and bruises, of fixing them quicker and more effectively. And surgeries now, keyhole surgeries, are far more efficient than they used to be. We're getting more efficient, we're getting better, we're getting more skilled. But you cannot digitize sin, which is too bad. Or is it? When somebody sinned in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, they would have to offer a sacrifice. For some reason that honestly I don't fully claim to understand, and yet I believe it is true, death has to take sin away. The wages, the price, the effect of sin is death. We believe that Jesus died not because of the nails, though I don't think they helped, but because he had the weight of the world's sin on him. And if you have sinned, particularly if it's a new sin and it's an unfamiliar sin and you've done something you thought would be good and it's turned out to be so bad and it's hurting you so much, you can end up with this pain in you. And I've said this before, but it's worth remembering again. If you were to put all of that pain of your whole entire life into you at one time, it could perhaps kill you. Because that pain would be tremendous. So you take the whole world, it killed the Son of God. Because when one of the Israelites would sin, they would bring an offering, and they would bring it. It might be a lamb, it might be a dove, it might be a sack of flour later on, if you didn't have a lot of money, didn't have those things around you. Once a year, the whole country would come together to get rid of those sins that had been forgiven, because that blood that came from the animal that was used for your forgiveness would be, not sprayed, but sort of pulled up there. It'd be protecting you, free to get on with your life, but once it's called the Day of Atonement. And as part of that process, and there were several sacrifices that went, the high priest had to sacrifice a great big oxen. But the people would sacrifice, would choose these two goats. There'd be two goats, and one of them would be for the people's sins, and the other one would be what we refer to now as the scapegoat. And these sins would be placed on this goat, and the goat would be led out of the tabernacle, out of the camp, out into the wilderness, and be sent away so that the people's sins would disappear. Because you can't just magically remove people's sins. It has this effect on us. So that's one story we have. And then with the prophets, I think it's in Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. We get this image of your sins being taken by God to the depths of the sea. That our sins are put somewhere. They don't just with a click of a button go away. They don't go away just because we want them to. Or because we've asked for forgiveness. They might be removed for us. Because that is what Jesus Christ has done for us. But they don't just disappear. I view them more of an analog thing. Rather than a digital thing. And that is why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world. As it says right there in Matthew, after we've gone through the genealogy, just to prove that this is not a digital thing. He's not just placed in there, though there was some Holy Spirit stuff going on there that I don't particularly claim to understand. But there is a process. It is continuous. Jesus came as part of this world's history. He came as one of us. Why? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. For the forgiveness of our sins. So that he could take your sins and take them away. It is a beautiful story. And I think it's something that God couldn't do digitally. He couldn't do it from the heavens. He couldn't just like put a software program in together where that all happens in the right proper way. He had to become part of the continuous event. He had to become part of us. He had to be Emmanuel. One of us. And that is truly a wonderful thing. I love talking with my parents and my kids on FaceTime. I mean, it really, really is cool. I've been doing it for years now. And yet, I still am amazed by the technology that allows me to hang out in that way. But my mom will always do this joke. We'll be sitting there, usually Friday evening for them, Friday lunchtime for me. And we're sitting there, and my mom's like, "Oh, I'm thirsty. Stephen, would you like a drink?" And we all crack up because we hit the limits of FaceTime. By the way, she's always had this kind of joke. When I used to visit with them on Friday nights in their house, I'd get up to get the drink. That's what it's really about. She just misses my servanthood butlering in the house. And I'd get up to go get the drink, and she goes, "Oh, why you're up? Would you go to the toilet for me?" It's just one of her jokes. She says it many times, and I hope she's listening because maybe she'll stop. No, it's still funny. I share it. I giggle every time. Because there are some things that you have to do for yourself. You can't, no matter how wealthy you are, you can't hand that out or delegate that out to somebody else. Some things are continuous. Some things can't be broken down. And your God, your Creator, your Savior did what only He could do. And that was to come to this earth, become one of us, deal with the things that we are dealing with, and have victory as a perfect human being, and have victory on our behalf so that we could claim not only His death, but His life, and live with Him forever. Because what Jesus Christ, our Savior, did. And it was something that only He could do. So it's Christmas time. There are some things, parents, that only you can do. It would be a lot of fun to take all the money that's coming over from England from uncles and aunts and say, here, kids, there's your present. But you know what? I should probably wrap one up too, yeah? Yeah. It's important. The people in your lives. You think I should wrap one for you too, Erica? Just because you put your hand up. Oh, careful, everybody. So this season, do what only you can do and make somebody else's life better. But also, spend time with our Savior Jesus Christ, who did what only He could do so that we could have eternal life forever. And kids, I'm saying this to say that you should not want an iPad for Christmas. It's digital. It's useless. Save them all for me. No, I love the digital world. But I love my God who is real. And one day I will be able to touch Him and hang out with Him and be in His presence in whole new ways. Because He's done what He's done for me. Praise God, yes? The good news is it's only December 8th. And next weekend, Shale and Durley. Dale and Shirley have their Christmas story and program. They do a lovely job. And then we're going to have a whole wise men Christmas on the Sabbath before Christmas. And I know the seniors have their Christmas party. And the Pathfinders are doing book work this Wednesday. And I just hope and pray that you have a wonderful Christmas and that you get so much out of this season. Because this season offers something that no other time of the year can. So may God bless you and may He keep you. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, thank You for this Sabbath. For the time when we can come and gather together, for friends and family here in this church. We thank You for Jesus and the time we get to remember Him in these next few weeks. Bless us now. May we be good ambassadors and witnesses for You. Guide us and protect us and lead us this week. And bring us back together on another Sabbath to fellowship with each other and worship You, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.